Good morning, friends. I greet you during this Advent season with blessing and delight as we look into marvelous passages of this season, which I hope are not just little incantations that we hear and don't think about. So I hope that this passage today will reverberate in your hearts in new ways and in deep ways. And the passage for today is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, and then verses 27 to 31. And I'm going to read God's word, Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules with him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths grow faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to say a word. I feel like I'm a broken record when I say this, but I will say it again. It's been a hard week, especially in our hearts, in our minds. For those of us who are officers and people who care for the body, Pastor Jeff, myself, the elders, the deacons. It's been a tough week of losses, as you've already heard. I want to share with you today a picture from Isaiah that is about a shepherd. And I pray that this will be more than just words of a sermon during Advent. As I said, you know, we have the tendency to read passages like Isaiah and Micah at this time of the year. It's part of our traditions, right? As the Christian church, to have those Christmas carols and these passages. But don't let it go by again this year without the depth of the meaning that's there. You're going to miss the joy of what Christmas is. And I think I shared with you last week, above all, Christmas is about hope. And if you're like me, if you're like these families who are grieving this week, you need hope. I need a shepherd. And so I'm going to ask that you would bear with me as we go through some of the verses and some of the thoughts from the picture that Isaiah gives us of a shepherd who very lovingly holds you and cares for you. And that's what I want you to hear today. Right where you are, there is heartbreak and pain and sadness and all that. But you need to know that there is a shepherd who will hold you close. And if necessary, carry you and take good care of you in the midst of your sadness and brokenness. As I was thinking about the sadnesses of this week, I was like, why again? Well, the answer is, hello, everything's broken. But thank you, Jesus, that you have come to bring light into the midst of the darkness. Would you pray with me? Father, I do pray that you will illuminate some of the thoughts and ideas from these passages, that, Lord, you may give us renewed hope and strength for the days ahead, especially in the midst of our grief, our sorrow, our sadnesses, our loneliness, our depression, confusion, doubts. Would you be the one that renews hope and life in us? Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, who has come to be the light of the world and to give life and life abundantly, the Word says. And I thank you for that because I know I need it right now. I need it today. Father, give us eyes to see Him. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have an affinity for shepherds. I grew up in a little Sunday school. My dad and mom, their church did not have a Sunday school. I shared this with some friends the other day. So they used to send us to First Baptist Church of New Milford. It's a tiny little church that loved the children in their community. And they said, you don't have to be members here. You can come to Sunday school. And they welcomed droves of children. Lots of them immigrant children. Lots of them just kids who did not have church backgrounds and so forth. And every year they did a Christmas play. And you know what I wanted to be? A shepherd. I always had an affinity for shepherds. And part of it, I have to admit to you, is because you can hide behind this robe and cloak, right? Whatever they gave you to wear, and this headdress that kind of covered your face a little bit, and I can be behind the scenes. I never would have wanted to be Joseph, to be up there in the front, but behind the scenes, in the shadow, the quiet shepherds holding something to lean on, that was good. I loved that. I realized that there's probably a reason for that, and a lot of it was because I think that there was a true sense of unworthiness. As always, like in grade school, kind of like the last kid to get picked for sports, because I was smaller for my age. I'm smaller for my age now, right? But you know what I mean. I was kind of smaller for my age, and I loved sports, but I would get picked last. And, you know, there are always kids who are kind of bullying and kids who made fun and all that kind of stuff. And there was this kind of feeling of like unworthiness. I felt like a shepherd at heart. It's like I was always not wanting to have that kind of strength, but the sort of embracing kind of the weakness. Well, in second grade, I attended PS 16 in the Bronx, Carpenter Avenue. Public school 16 in the Bronx. And I had a teacher named Estelle Gedan. She was already in her 60s at that time. But she took a liking to me and started unfolding some of that hiding mentality and said, there's something good. And she would always call it out. And she would have this glass jar of cookies. That's how she kind of rewarded kids. And she said, get up here and get a cookie. When something good got done in class. And you know, she changed my life. Something changed and clicked in second grade at public school 16 in the Bronx. There was a sense of like worthiness all of a sudden, a sense of attention and care. And it's like, man, I might be able to do something. It was a light bulb that went on. And since then, I haven't stopped learning. I love learning now. But Estelle Gedan kind of sparked that. I want to tell you the story of the shepherds. So first point is shepherds. Second point is the Christmas shepherd. And I will try to get into it, reminding you that this is only a diving board. As always, you've got to do some work in reading and studying and praying and meditating on these stories afterwards. Please do. Highlight Isaiah 40. We're going to look at John 10 and pray that God would give you some good things from this passage. So the shepherds.
You can't have Christmas without shepherds, right? Well, the shepherds are very, very important people because the announcement comes first of Jesus' birth to the shepherds living out in the fields of Bethlehem, outside the fields. This is what my boy Jude was memorizing this week for school. They were living out in the fields nearby. Did you get that? Living out in the fields. Shepherds were the lowliest people at that time in Palestine. The lowliest vocation. Dirty, smelly. I think, though, Martin Luther says they were actually very content people. They didn't care about being nobles and princes. They were happy at what they were doing because they loved their sheep. They loved being outside, but they were the lowliest of the lowly as far as ranks went. Make sense? So much so that they were so despised and rejected in the bigger picture of things that even their testimony, you probably know this, you've heard this many Christmases, even their testimony would not be admissible in a court of law if they were called on to be a witness. That lowly. Very likely because they were considered unclean and could not worship in the temple and had to be on the outskirts and could not really worship God the way the others did. All kinds of things, right? Despised, rejected, lowly group, messy. The last group that you would expect to be told by the angels of the birth of the Savior of the world. And yet, the angels come down and tell the shepherds first. I read a story about a rabbi giving advice to parents and said, don't let your babies grow up to be shepherds. You ever heard a song like that? Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be shepherds. Don't let them be donkey herders, camel herders, storekeepers, and shepherds. Don't let them be shepherds. Why? Because of all the things that I just mentioned, but they were the first ones invited to the birthday party of the King of Kings in that manger scene. Why? Because, and this is the message of Christmas, you need to hear this. God chooses the most unexpected and unworthy of candidates and starts his work and mission there. Is that good news? You know why I'm sharing this? Because we are all supposed to be, as believers of this God, shepherds at heart. We're not ever to come to God and say, here's my resume. You need people like me. You come as shepherds at heart who say, I'm so unworthy, but thank you. I don't deserve to be here, but thank you. I am overjoyed and delighted that you would invite someone like me. You know, there's hope for you if you feel weak, despised, rejected, not loved, unworthy. You know, I'll share. This is just a side. I wasn't going to say this, share this. But I remember one time in my 20s pulling off the road and needing to cry because I was listening onto the radio. I'm a big sports guy. Listening on the radio about this guy that had just signed like a $200 million contract. Sports guy. He's a basketball player. And I pulled off the road because it was at one of those moments where I was like, man, I feel so puny. I feel so small. I can't even make $25,000 a year. And yet there are people making $200 million a year. It's like, there's no comparison. I'm in a different universe. I feel so inadequate, so puny, so small. But here's the good news of the gospel, friends, when you think about the shepherds. God favors people like that. It's not just he puts up with them. He favors the people who are the despised, the rejected, the unwanted, the lonely. He starts his mission through them.
and then to everyone else. That's the beauty of the gospel. Is that he starts with those of us who feel so inadequate, so weak, so puny, so unwanted, so rejected, and all of that. And by the way, if you think I'm making this up, this is kind of my thought, like every week. There's a day where I feel inadequate and weak and sad, and it's like, woe is me, and man, I wish I was like that guy, and I wish I could preach like that guy, and I wish that my church could be like that, or whatever, right? We all have that. But the good news is that God said, he says this in his word, this is his word. He confounds the wisdom of the world and uses the weak things and the foolish things, and he accomplishes its mission through them first. That's what I love about Christmas. And you remember, this is part of what I shared a couple weeks ago. And then Pastor Jeff built on that, talking about the deadness of a stump where there doesn't seem to be life. God's people were a sea of stumps, and yet a little shoot comes up out of Jesse, father of David, and keeps his covenant promise that a king would come who would be better than David, whose kingdom will never end and whose throne will be forever and eternal, right? But we are people who are always looking to be the worthy and the high class and all that, right? You know, when people ask me where I'm from, you guys probably know this, I always say New York City, right? Because New York is famous. But I'm actually from a little town called Teaneck. And so when I tell people Teaneck, New Jersey, they say, T-shirt? No, Teaneck. It's a suburb of New York City. But why do we do that? Why do we, when people say, where are you from? We're from Dallas. It's because you don't want to say, I'm from Bitter End, Tennessee. Or Booger Hole, Vermont. There is such a place. I'm sorry, Booger Hole, West Virginia. Or Boring, Oregon. Or Bacon Level, Alabama. That may not be a bad place to live. But you know why we do that? Is because we don't see that God favors the weak and the downtrodden and the unworthy. He actually begins his work there. That's the beauty of the gospel. God's wisdom confounds the world's wisdom. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They are higher and better and greater. And I want to leave you with those ideas. Why did I share about those towns? Because the last time we talked about Galilee and Nazareth. Galilee and Nazareth were like the most despised part of Israel, near the land of the Gentiles. Nothing good can come from Nazareth. That's how the scriptures talk about it. It's not where the happening is, right? And yet, God sends his son, born in Bethlehem, in a manger, which is what? A feed trough for animals. In Galilee, and grows up in Nazareth. Podunk town. Not valuable. Not New York City. Not London. Not even Dallas. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are better. So if you're feeling inadequate or sad, whatever place it is in your life, I want you to know God favors you. He favors you. He has a plan. If you are willing to be his, to use you greatly to the ends of the earth, he uses the weak and foolish things. Let me go on. The Christmas shepherd. The Christmas shepherd is a picture that Isaiah gives to us in his prophecy some 800 years earlier. But listen to verse 11, right? He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah gives a picture of light coming in the midst of total darkness. Remember, the darkness is not a little darkness, it's utter darkness. The deeper you go, the darker it is. That's us. That's the Christmas message. So you should embrace the darkness and realize that unless God erupts into our world, you are living in darkness. There's no way out. There is no way out. He brought light where there was no light, and He gives you hope and joy where there could be no hope and joy. And then Pastor Jeff painted the picture of a shoot coming up out of the dead tree, the dead ground, right? I'd rather be an oak than a cedar. That was my application from last week. Thank you, God, that you bring life out of death. And here we have the picture of a shepherd who is the one who is going to come for God's people, Israel. Israel is like a son. Israel is like sheep, and God says, I will be your shepherd. Don't look to all these other things. Don't look to some great king or political leader. I will be your shepherd. And this is what it says in verse 10, which comes before verse 11. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. You know what that sounds like? Like a mighty king and a judge. So here's a picture of God. He is the mighty king and judge of all the earth, and yet at the same time, He is gentle, compassionate, tends His flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in His arms, and He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I want you to imagine some pictures with me. A shepherd takes His sheep, and when there are little lambs that cannot keep up with the rest of the flock, what does He do? He takes them. He carries them. Have you ever seen pictures of white Jesus with the lamb on His shoulder? Come on, you've seen it, right? Well, here's the beauty of it. He does do that. When you can't keep up, He carries you. But here's the beauty. He doesn't sigh and then get disgusted and say, oh man, again. You know the truth? When He holds you, He has a smile. Because before He ever carried you in His arms, He carried you in His heart. Jesus is holding you in His heart before He ever carries you in His arms. And it's never with disgust. And it's never with a heavy sigh. It's with a smile. That's you. The one who needs it. He's doing that for you. The inadequate, the rejected, the lowly, the puny. That's what He does. And then what about the mothers that are with young? Those who can barely walk because they're so heavy with the baby sheep. Well, I don't know what baby sheep are called, but anyway, they are in the mother's body and she can barely walk. And what does the shepherd do? He says, let's walk slowly, gently, leading them gently, keeping pace, right? What a loving picture of a shepherd. So mighty. He is so mighty that He comes as judge and yet so gentle and so compassionate to know every single one by name. Pastor Jeff so brilliantly brought John's gospel in when he was talking about the picture of the fruitful branch, as Isaiah paints a picture of a fruitful branch that comes to give us life out of dead stumps. Well, John 10, and I have to turn to this because I would do injustice if I did not talk about John 10 a little bit. There's a few things that I'll just go in passing, and I pray that you might write a few of these down so that you can kind of talk about it at family devotions or around the dinner table. John 10 is about the good shepherd. Let me just read a few verses, okay? Verse 3. 2. But He enters by the door is the shepherd, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from Him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what He was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves, came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So sometimes when you're reading John 10 and the Good Shepherd passages, you'll be like, wait a minute. Is he the shepherd or is he the door of the sheepfold? I don't get it. Is he the shepherd or is he the door? And then he comes back again. He says, I am the door. And then he says, but I am the good shepherd. So here's how to make a little bit of sense of it. In those times, they usually had like a four-walled structure. Are you with me? A four-walled structure with an opening. And the opening, the sheep can go in, especially at night, and be kept safe. There was no door. The shepherd was the door if he was a good shepherd. So he would lie down in the opening and no sheep could leave except go over him. And no wolf could come in unless they went over him. But only a good shepherd would do that. Because a bad shepherd would probably go to sleep in the corner with a blanket inside where it's warm and safe and not at the open doorway. But the good and true shepherd is the door because he's the one who says, over my dead body, are you getting to one of my sheep? The shepherd is the door. What's another thing that John 10 talks about? All sheep need a shepherd. There's a story that is told by, I think it was Philip Keller. He was a lay pastor who wrote a wonderful series called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Really good book to look at if you ever want to look deeper into Psalm 23 and the pastoral shepherd images that are in Psalm 23. So Philip Keller shares a number of illustrations and stories, and I think it's in that book, but in one of them he says, there was a sheep that always used to go by the fence. One of the sheep in a particular sheep fold. And there would be a hole, and the sheep would always be looking to get to the other side of the fence. Just this one sheep. And eventually he got to the other side of the fence. But here's the problem. The other side of the fence didn't have much more grass than inside the fence. Just a narrow piece of ground that actually led to a cliff overlooking the sea. That's why there was a fence. But this one sheep always used to hang by the fence looking to the other side. Eventually he got through one day, even though there wasn't more grass there. And then you know what happened? The other sheep followed. Because that's what they do. They follow together. They herd together. And they go to this dangerous plot of land. And then the shepherd is telling the story. Says, that's why they need a shepherd. All sheep need a shepherd. That's why the images of shepherding and sheep are all over the scriptures. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us to his own way, right? We are like sheep. We have the tendency to go where we're not even supposed to go, or even where there isn't anything good for us. Thirdly, let me give you another image or idea from John 10. There is great value in the sheep. People tend to think sheep are useless. I have cousins in England. And so I just went to a wedding about a year ago. Beautiful old church. Pastoral farm ground around it. Lots of sheep. Right? And to me, I'm like, wonderful. But are these things valuable? Is there any good value in them? Well, here's something we can get from the passage. Thieves and robbers want them. Wolves want them. There's got to be some value in them. Right? You can sell wool. You can sell the sheep for meat. There is value in them. But even more than the monetary value, there is a value that the shepherd has for them because he knows each and every one of those sheep by name. There is a value. I don't know if you feel this right now or not, that maybe you're not as valuable as someone else. That is a lie told by Satan himself. You are loved and valued by the Shepherd King of the world. So much so that God the Father would send His own begotten Son to this dirty, broken, dark world so that Him keeping the mission would be to accomplish a flock that God the Father has given Him. Do you realize that? That was the mission? God the Father had given sheep to His Shepherd King's Son and said, your mission is to establish the flock of God and if necessary, die for them because I've given them to you. That is no small thing. You are one of those. Don't ever undervalue who you are before the King of Kings and the Shepherd of your souls. Let me move on. The shepherd's sheep are secure. There's always danger around, right? But the shepherd's voice keeps them near. I read another story in the readings for this sermon, and one was this. Said there was a place that was kind of like a desert where a shepherd herder was keeping livestock. And then what they'd have to do is they'd have to dig to find water because it was a place where there wasn't a lot of water. So they would dig and dig and dig. And finally, when they would find some water, they would hover around and the animals would be in all other different places and they would start singing a song because it was their song. That herder with his animals would have a song. And when he sang that song, the animals just came and hovered around the little water hole and would get exactly what they need. But they wouldn't go to the other guy down there who had a different song because it wasn't the right voice and it wasn't the right song. You're secure. Yeah, there's danger all around. And I told you that. There's danger all around. We're living in a dark and broken world, but you're safe because your shepherd is nearby and His voice will call you to Him if there's anything lurking around. He will do that. He knows you. And finally, I will say, there is authority by the good and true shepherd. You know, if ever there is a qualified shepherd, it's Jesus. He followed the Father's plan exactly. He was of the line of David. He was holy and righteous. He submitted to the will of the Father completely. He did all the things necessary to be qualified to be your shepherd. The perfect one, the perfect shepherd. In Isaiah, we know that there's a people who are so wicked, they've gone away from God. They don't want to follow God. They don't obey God. They are wandering away, and yet the shepherd gathers them and loves them, even when they are not wanting to follow Him. All we like sheep have strayed and wandered away. But through the mercy and grace of God, He draws us close. My friends, I'm going to close because I want you to think about what's being offered here. Are you wandering? Are you still not feeling secure? You feeling inadequate? You feeling unworthy? You feeling dejected? You tend to compare yourself with everybody else? You know what Christmas is? Christmas is Jesus through the Father saying, I will never write you off. I will never count you out of my sheepfold. You are worthy to me, and I will redeem you. Can I read you one of my favorite verses from the last couple of years, and many of you might recognize it? Isaiah 43:1. Okay? Just bear with me for one more minute. But now says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Remember a few weeks ago I told you that I went away for a little time of counsel and retreat, and one of the things the Lord had really, really shaken up in me was this idea of I am a son. I need to not forget that I am a son. The sonship that gives us confidence and joy. There's something waiting for me. Well, here's one more. Here's one more. You are a beloved sheep of the shepherd. And He knows you by name. He knows everything, every heartache, every detour, every messed upness. Are you willing to kind of give in and say, all right, I'll let you lead me. I'll be yours. That's where we get our hope. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Father, let's commit this passage and all that it means to us yet again. That You would use it, Lord, that You might give us hope for this season and all the days of our lives. That, Lord, we might find our worthiness in the One who came to lay His life down for us and make us part of the flock. Lord, we love You so much for loving us and coming after us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.